Welcome to We Are The Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are The Watchers.
This chair's creaky.
It'd be a good chair to have like in a haunted house where no one sits on it yet it creaks.
Not a great chair to have in a recording studio.
No, not at all. Maybe we should get some, I don't know, WD-40 or something. Doesn't that solve everything?
Everything.
Or you just don't move for the whole entire thing. That'll be comfortable.
That's not going to happen.
What about if I move? I'm all right.
That's a little less creaky.
Yeah.
I'm afforded a touch more movement.
I'm going to call you a handyman now.
Handy.
Fixed it. Mm-hmm. Welcome to We Are The Watchers, episode 70.
G'day.
I thought you were going to do some sort of bingo thing, but I guess there is no bingo thing for 70. Nothing of note.
Nah.
We are going to talk about Njolls. We're going to do a quiz. Mm-hmm. The quiz sort of comes off the back of the whole Netflix thing about they drop shows after a couple of seasons. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of it's along that line.
Okay.
I've kind of taken a fork in the road with that. We'll talk about this week's episode of The Walking Dead. That'll be behind the spoiler section. What else we've watched as well?
So many things.
Yeah, a lot of things. We need to get into the news first. Tom, I reckon it's your go to have a crack first.
All right. The big news in terms of like what this does for the industry is that the Disney and Fox deal is set to close on March 20.
Ooh.
It's official.
Okay. Ah, that will have already happened by the time this comes out.
Yeah, I guess so.
Amazing. So we'll obviously know everything that there is to know about it. Probably not, actually.
Find out everything about it, but we'll find out bits and pieces.
Yeah, and it means basically that they can start doing stuff.
Yes.
It's great.
And they've got new TV arms and all sorts of new exciting IP and things at their whim and leisure. Whim and leisure.
I thought you said women leisure.
Oh,
and I went,
sure.
Is that the new IP you're talking
about? Yeah, you know, women leisure.
That was
your Lululemon.
Oh, swish. Canadian, right? We don't know these things.
But do I look like I wear active wear?
Do you look like you wear women's leisure wear? No, you don't.
Not normal.
Which I guess is fine. So, I mean, this means that, if the deal happens this week, when will things start to trickle out for audience consumption, I wonder? Within the next 6 months, potentially?
Look,
you would think that they would have stuff ready to go ready to be produced.
Yes and no. Some stuff that would be ready to produce would have been on hold because they wouldn't have known who was going to pay for it until things have gone through. I would imagine we might see some TV property stuff by the end of year.
Yep.
But again, that would be stuff that would have already been in development. More likely some of that stuff going to the Disney Plus, the online service. But next year, I think. In terms of Marvel and, you know, the other potential IP crossovers, a couple of years away.
I guess it's kind of good that it doesn't all come out all at once. Otherwise, you're just inundated and you've literally got to take your 4 weeks off
I mean,
just to watch.
Look, I say all that. The biggest swerve in cinema history could be that the Avengers Endgame end credit scene, whatever, features a dude in a brown jacket with three claws coming out of his fist of the X-Men are coming or something along those lines.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
The crowd?
Bananas.
In every cinema? Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that's a watch this space.
Yes.
Exciting news story.
Yes. They do want to build a snowman. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I've got a let's revisit a news story.
Oh, okay.
Do you remember a couple of weeks ago we were talking about how Steven Spielberg was super against Netflix movies running for the Oscars? Well, it seems like he may have changed his mind because he and Ted Sarandos, head of Netflix, were seen meeting at a members-only club. probably, this is my speculation, they probably talked some deal where Steven's going to be making a or some movies for Netflix.
I think that would be very interesting. He does have a lot of exclusivity deals already locked up, but I could see his production company doing some stuff for them or something along those lines. I read somewhere that those quotes that were given to him about Netflix were taken out of context and not actually what he was saying.
Okay.
So there's been a lot of backpedaling all over.
Sort of he said, she said action going on. But it makes sense that he would, in some way, whether it be his production company or him, get involved because we've got big actors, big directors, other big movie head people getting involved with Netflix. I mean, you were talking the other week about Martin Scorsese's movie, The Irishman, coming to Netflix. Yes. I mean, that sounds big. There were so many huge actors involved. Almost sounded like I said Hugh Jackman then, but
it
huge
did sound like
actors
that.
involved. So I think this is another watch this space.
I think so as well. Look, something will come of this, whether that's they're going to produce things for Amblin or I don't know what, but yeah, that could be very, very cool.
What's your dream? If you can get something from Steven Spielberg on Netflix, what's your dream? See, for me, I reckon I would like to see either another or a couple of Tintin movies,
sure,
or it made into a series. It's been a while since Tintin had a series. There was that Canadian one back in like the 90s, early 90s,
yeah,
and that's kind of it.
Oh, see, this is a tough call because I'd love to say Jurassic Park, but then I remember that he already did Terra Nova, which is the TV series of that, and that was not much. Like, it was fine. It wasn't great, and they were trying too much, and just for a TV budget wouldn't work.
Yeah, right.
But this is Netflix.
This is Netflix. It's different.
They play with different budgets. Look, I would love to see a Jaws mini-series that's stretched out maybe over 6 episodes.
Like a limited thing.
Yes, and it's very, very, very Moby Dick. Focus on the storytelling on the boat and, you know, the guys singing songs while drunk and that sort of stuff, real character drama stuff.
I reckon that could work.
That could be good.
What else have you got?
James Gunn. He's had a big week.
What a big week.
Yeah, so he's back on Guardians 3, still doing Suicide Squad, which is called The Suicide Squad and is confirmed to be a hard reboot. Yeah.
That's big, right?
Things worked out all right for him in the end.
Yeah, he just waited it out, basically.
Apparently he's known for a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was decided a while ago and they've only just told everyone.
Interesting. Yeah. I wonder the reason behind hanging off.
I would say so as to not overshadow Captain Marvel.
Okay.
I think that was a very big part of it, of wait for that to go out in case there was any backlash towards James Gunn being rehired. That way it's not clashing.
Very clever.
I think so.
Looks like Warner Brothers has sort of won in the negotiations fight for the rights for King Richard, which is the story about Richard Williams, the father of Serena and Venus. Mm. And also, Will Smith's attached to it.
Oh,
that's $50 million.
That's quite a lineup.
That is a lineup. Do you remember there was talk earlier that Michelle and Barack Obama were in, their production company wanted it as well? So they were sort of negotiating as well. But obviously, Warner Brothers were the winners and they have gotten the rights for it. So I guess we can start seeing it come to light.
Sounds just ace.
Like what you did there. You served it right up for us. Hey.
Keep that racket down. I apologize for that.
You should never apologize for that sort of stuff. It was awesome.
Okay, good.
Other news?
American Gods just been confirmed for season 3.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen some of the posters for American Gods on, you know, bus stops and stuff at the moment.
Yeah, they're hyping because season 2 hasn't even started yet and they're that confident that they renewed it, which I think is what they did with season 2 as well. They renewed it before it went to air, but there's been a lot of behind-the-scenes shenanigans and this sort of stuff of showrunners leaving. They have a new showrunner. I can't remember who.
Oh, it doesn't matter, though. It just means it's all refreshed and new. And
that's right. And it means that there's a reason to watch this season because there will be another season. I hate it when a show's coming and you know it's already been cancelled.
Yeah, like, it's depressing.
There's any cliffhangers. I know I'm never going to get the resolution. So
It's a problem these days with so many programs. Mm-hmm. They do get ditched an awful lot. And you hear news about it almost every week, it feels like.
Yeah.
You know, this show's being cancelled, the other one's being cancelled.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
I've got a story of Freddie Prinze Jr.
Oh, what's he up to?
Well, he is now attached to a reboot of Nancy Drew.
Oh, cool. The one for CW?
Yeah, the CW one. He'll be the dad. He won't be Nancy Drew. Mm. So I don't know whether that's a good or bad thing.
So he's Nancy Drew Sr.
Yes. Perfect. So I don't know how this pilot's going to go, but I feel confident that it's going to get picked up.
Well, if it, they're probably going to go for that Sabrina Riverdale.
Yeah, Riverdale.
Vibe.
Yeah,
yeah.
If I was 15 years old, I am this target audience.
Well, they're doing Are they doing Charmed?
I think they are.
I think they've got Charmed.
Yeah, Charmed is back.
All that. So a few years ago, they were all about the superheroes, and they've got their superhero locked down, and so now they're all about that universe, which is cool.
Look, it's going to be perfect, and people are going to love it. And people who have no idea who Freddie Prinze Jr. are suddenly going to know who he is.
Because someone's going to rip a mask off, and he would have gotten away with it all if it wasn't for you meddling kids.
Funnily enough, this is his first on-camera role since 2010. Mm. I don't know what he's been doing since then, but it's not been acting. Maybe he and Sarah Michelle Gellar have a production company or something.
He'd have been busy doing something else.
I can't see Freddie just hanging around at home.
Oh, I can.
Eating Cheetos.
I don't know about the Cheetos, but I think he's a man that would enjoy a bit of Xbox time. He's a big nerd.
Do you reckon he'd be more Halo or Call of Duty?
Oh, Call of Duty. Do some trash talking.
He loves a bit of team deathmatch.
Mm-hmm.
What other news have you found?
I got one that's great and one that bummed me out.
Oh, let's do the bum out one.
We'll get it out of the way.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Tanked, my favourite show.
One of your favourite shows in the whole history of the world.
About making fish tanks. Cancelled.
That surprises me. That show is very popular, steady popular.
Well, I don't know how strong the ratings were. It's popular enough. It's on Animal Planet, so they don't have to get huge ratings, but even still, they've done 15 seasons, and Animal Planet had said that it had run its natural course.
Okay.
However, scandal. So the show is about a company that's run by a pair of brother-in-laws.
Yep.
And one of them is married to the other one's sister.
Hence the...
Yes.
Yeah, connection.
The ones that are married had a domestic incident.
Uh-oh.
She beat him up. Apparently was hanging out of a car window and all this sort of stuff. Don't know too much. There's a mugshot of her that's not great, and they're getting divorced now.
Oh.
So Animal Planet came out and said the cancellation has nothing to do with it. It actually got cancelled back in December.
Oh, right, okay.
And it just wasn't publicly shared.
Oh, okay.
So because these guys have got like a production company in their warehouse next door to them, they can keep doing stuff. So they said they're going to launch a YouTube channel. I believe it's called Lifestyle of the Fish and Famous.
But will they now?
I hope so.
I wonder.
The one that's not involved, that other brother, he was posting yesterday that it's coming.
Okay.
So maybe that's him keeping hope.
Yeah, maybe.
But we'll see.
It also, I guess, has nothing to do with the two guys, like their relationship.
I really hope so. We don't know the details of what this incident was, but you know, if it got real messy, then it could prove problematic for the business.
Yeah, that's true.
And she's the accountant.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, you can get another accountant. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
They're the ones who knock. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Look, I saw, this is from IGN, so Halo fans have been sending pizza to 343 Industries, the Halo guys, after, I think it was last week, they announced that Halo, the Master Chief Collection, is coming to PC. Fans went crazy. They couldn't cope. It was just too exciting for them. I guess Halo fans are very passionate. So what happened was there was a Reddit thread that started, and somebody said in it, if somebody from the production house comments in here, we'll send you pizza. And somebody did, and then they had so much pizza that they've had to actually continuously on their social media pages and tweets and everything say, you've got to stop sending us pizza. So as a way to thank the fans for sending them pizza, they've given them free skins for their guns. So their guns, you can now get pepperoni pizza skins.
I was going to say,
skins.
They better be pizza skins, yeah?
They were. Awesome. Yeah, they look quite fun. So what a great relationship between fans and, you know, the makers and developers of the game.
Hell yeah.
To have that kind of banter back and forth and people on both sides following through with what they said they were going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. So it's a bit of a feel-good story after the Tanked story.
Yeah. Well, I got a story that'll perk you right back up.
Okay.
I'm very excited about this because this might be a bit of a nexus of you and me's interest, you and I's interests.
Yes, tell me more.
So, Netflix, a new interactive one, like a Bandersnatch.
Uh-huh.
Think that. It's called You Versus Wild.
Me Versus Wild.
Yes, there's a hint in there as to who might be in this show.
Is there a man who bears all?
Yes. So, it's Bear Grylls. Interactive adventure 8-episode series called You Vs. Wild, Bandersnatch style, but a travel adventure.
Ooh.
And you've got to choose and help Bear survive.
This is fun.
Yep.
8 episodes as well. I mean, Bandersnatch was sort of the one-off because it was so, I'm going to use the word convoluted, but not in a bad way, but it was, you know, there was stuff everywhere, you know, but maybe this one's a little more streamlined. Maybe there's only a certain amount of options.
Yes, I think it might be a bit like, do you securely attach this rope or do you just hope for the best and climb down that tree? And I think it might be a little more that stuff. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Still super fun, right?
That got announced on Deadline this morning. I was like, oh, yes.
That would be a great sort of interaction that families can watch together.
That's the point of it. It's very much family aimed.
Yeah. What a great idea.
The poster for it is pretty great too. I actually saved it so I could show you.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, nice.
Isn't that awesome?
It's him sort of knelt down. He's got his hand out like, come
ready
help
to take
me.
You. Let's do this.
Let's do it.
April 10th, Netflix interactive series.
Ooh, that's soon.
Ah, oh, Bear Grylls. Love that, man.
Who doesn't?
Sharks.
With Better Moves and David Brent, you're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Speaking of things that are coming out on, sometime in April, so we've got the actual lengths of each episode for the final season of Game of Thrones.
Mm, hit me.
They were released because, do you remember they were saying that all movie length?
Mm-hmm.
They're not. The first couple, you've got 54 minutes, 58 minutes.
That's about standard.
Yeah, for the first two. And then they start to crank up to a minute 22, a minute 18, a minute 20. An hour 22, an hour 18, an hour 20, an hour 20. So that's where, it's interesting, the first two are sort of standard episodes.
Yeah.
And they will debut over in the US Sunday nights, 9 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
That's Eastern Standard Time. Is that what they call it? Eastern New York side.
Yeah.
The West side has to wait, I think.
That's right. West side's 3 hours behind.
And here in Australia, we will get it on Monday morning at 11 a.m.
11 a.m.
Mm-hmm. So make sure you've got the day off.
Mm.
And then you'll be very happy. Super exciting. I just like knowing bits and pieces about Game of Thrones as the lead up. It builds my hype.
And I'm going the flip of I'm blocking out plenty.
Yeah, okay.
Pretty much all I'm getting now is from you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll be sure not to give you too much.
Oh, no, but you can keep us abreast of the situation.
Thank you so much.
Mm. So the new Avengers Endgame trailer came out. There was one short one, I think, attached to Captain Marvel, but also shared online. And there were a few key moments that I will just be like, yay. Nebula. The blue chick from space is now with the Avengers as well.
Yeah.
Same as Rocket. And there's one very brief shot that looks like Tony Stark back with the Avengers. So last we saw him in any of the trailers,
he was
stuck
out
on that
there by
ship.
Himself.
Yep, thinking he was going to die.
So he's back.
Mm-hmm.
So they've spoilt their own.
I don't know if they've. It might be some editing trickery, but I don't think it is. I think, like, we know he's coming back.
Yes.
They've said that everything in the promotional material is going to be like the first 15, 20 minutes of the film.
Okay.
So
I remember you saying that.
He's coming back. Okay. But there's a couple of shots there of Hawkeye and then the shot later with a new hairstyle looking very dark and emo. So his family definitely got snapped.
He definitely wasn't in Infinity War.
No.
And I remember there was a bit of controversy from his fans. Why isn't he in it?
We'll find out.
Yeah, this is obviously why.
Oh, and there was a shot of Ant-Man jumping on a pencil. It seemed important.
It is important. Mm-hmm. You got to make sure you know. They've got to make sure that we know people are there.
Yeah.
So I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Nah, that'll do, eh?
All right. What have you been watching this week?
Not heaps. I've been playing a lot of Xbox this week.
Ah, what you been playing?
Oh, nothing really of note. I went back to Zoo Tycoon for a while, but I am started installing Division 2 last night.
Nice.
So stay tuned next week. I will talk about that because I'm hearing a lot of good things of people. I know someone who's already up to level 17 and haven't slept.
I think it is also reaping the benefits of the fact that Anthem didn't go too well.
Sure.
And that it seems to be quite solid. It's what it promised it would be. And from what I've heard, the performance of the actual game is pretty smooth.
That's what I'm hearing. The performance is really slick. And that's a big part of why I wanted to get into it.
Mm.
The other part is Division 1, I'm not snow, cold, whatever, but this one of plants taking back over Washington, D.C., and you get to, like, tour all the museums and everything. I'm there.
It sounds big.
Yeah, it sounds really good fun.
All right, well, that's very exciting. Look, if I could say one small thing that I completed, I finally went back to Dying Light and I finished the story.
Oh, you did?
And I deleted the game.
Oh, like, bye-bye.
I'm like, all right, time for the next thing.
Yep, you're so, ready? Freed up the room?
Yeah, exactly. You got to free up the room. There's not enough room.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
I did finally get around to watching the Solo movie, Star Wars and Solo movie.
Yeah.
I just had a free, I think it was a night, and I went, yep, let's watch it. And it was fun.
Yeah.
It was okay. If I can sort of rate it, it wasn't as good as Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't as good as Rogue One, but it was better than The Last Jedi. So out of the four, it came in third. I enjoyed it. I feel Emilia Clarke, because of the nature of who they are and who they're going to be compared to. So she's going to be compared to Princess Leia.
Sure.
She did not have the full of character and sassiness that Princess Leia has. So in that respect, that was probably the biggest letdown. But there were some fun highlights and little moments. It was more of a happy movie, I'd say.
Did you like that Fleabag was in it?
Loved it. Absolutely. As soon as I heard the voice, I went, oh, that's right, I forgot she was there. She needs to be in every Star Wars movie ever.
Yeah. Well, I guess she technically is, isn't she?
She technically is. Exactly.
Yeah. I did watch a few things. I know I said I didn't watch much.
But you lied. Yeah, it's okay. Don't worry about it.
So AP Bio is back, which is the show. I really enjoyed the first season. Very dark comedy about a philosophy. A guy who was at Harvard, head of philosophy or something like that, who gets disgraced and has to go back and teach biology at a school.
Mm.
And it's one of the guys from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
That's right. I remember you talking about it. Yeah.
Yes. So it's just come back for the second season. And the first season was all about trying to get revenge for, in his mind, the guy that stole his job.
Okay.
And in the end, he kind of got that revenge and it didn't give him any fulfillment. So I didn't know where the second season was going to go. And it had almost been done, like, if they finished there, that would work. But the second one, he's come back and he's kind of resolved the fact that he's stuck in this shit town, but has an epiphany one night by watching his family eat mayonnaise. And they were so happy. They were just putting mayonnaise on everything. And so he's set out this season to discover philosophically what happiness is and how you derive it and how it's easier to be happy if you're an idiot.
I feel that this is probably a nice little story arc for it.
Yes.
It seems to be going somewhere. His character seems to be evolving and changing into a way that would be interesting for the viewer to watch.
Yes. Well, he set out what seemed like a noble quest to find out this stuff, and then we learned it was actually because he was trying to write a philosophy paper that he could win a prize. And
yeah, but that's
maybe
fine.
Get out of the town.
But I mean, that's a nice way to sort of tie his evolution back to.
He's a scumbag.
Really
can't make him. You can't make him good.
Yeah,
that just can't happen.
It won't work. People will be upset.
But it's these kids. They're all meant to be about 16 or 17, somewhere around there, and they're all losers. But he kind of broke some of them last season and taught them to be bad, and they're getting worse.
Oh, no.
Yep. So they're all about, like, cutting ponytails off karate teachers that humbled them years ago and things like this. So the kids have their own revenge missions now. So now that he's got them doing revenge, he's focusing more on, again, trying to get out of town, but just doing awful, horrible ways.
In the wrong way.
Yeah.
It sounds fun.
It's great fun.
What's it called again?
AP Bio.
Okay.
It's not something that means anything here, but in the States, that's some class. Like,
biology.
Yeah, applied something.
Yeah, so like the lowest biology that you could, class you could take?
I don't know if it's lowest or if it's the flip. It might be advanced.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Because these are all the really, really smart kids and he just refuses to teach them.
Fantastic. They have to teach themselves.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Still trying to make Fetch happen? You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I checked in on Queer Eye Season 3 on Netflix.
Oh, I have heard some of that last night.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not a huge fan of Queer Eye. Don't get me wrong. I think it's great. Like, when it's on, I will watch it till the end, but I won't go out of my way to turn it on. And look, I finished the first episode smiling. Okay. Like, I felt good. And that's what they do. They make not only the person that they're helping or changing feel good, but they make the audience feel good mm-hmm. too. And I think if I remember the last group of guys from the early 2000s, it would have been very hard to try and emulate them without emulating them, if you know what I mean. Like, sure. You don't want the exact same replica. And I feel that these guys that they've got are a nice change while still bringing the energy. Yep. It doesn't feel as hyper. Because I saw an older episode a couple of months ago. It was just so full on. Like, it just felt like they were a hurricane that came into someone's life. Mm-hmm. Where this feels a little more, it feels like there's more respect when they enter someone's house and life with this one. Not that the other guys were ever going in with, you know, ill intentions, but it just felt a bit in your face, where this one's a little further back. But what I thought was very funny was they would, because one of the guys is English, right? Mm-hmm. The rest are all American, and they were talking about squirrels, and he said, squirrel. It was just an offhanded comment in a car. And they said, sorry, what'd you say? And he said, squirrel. They went, that's not how you pronounce it. You pronounce it squirrel. And he's going, it's not. It's squirrel. And he's going, squirrel. And there was this whole thing. I'm like, I forgot how hilariously Americans say the word squirrel. Like, I feel like we say it better than they do. Squirrel. And we don't even have squirrels here in Australia.
Yeah.
Jordan Raskopoulos posted on Twitter and she said, I think the hardest thing about this Queer Eye episode is learning that there is a consensus amongst Americans that the word squirrel is pronounced squirrel. And we got a whole heap of likes and everything. Nice. So I quite like the fact that Jordan got her name out there in the Queer Eye squirrel discussion, debate. But look, it's just one of those shows that it makes you feel happy.
Yeah.
And I think there's, when you get big depressing news things that happen around the world in certain weeks or months or whatever, to watch something like that just makes you feel a bit better.
Yeah, have some positivity.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch anything positive?
I did. So I talked before about how Goldbergs have that spin-off show Schooled now.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're doing really, really interesting ways of crossing over the show regularly.
Because you were talking about how they crossed over and how you were wondering how they would or if they would do much crossover.
Yeah.
And it sounds like there's a bit.
So there was a big crossover for episode one, and there have been characters pop up on most episodes since then. But this week's episode was a Romy and Michelle's high school reunion homage.
Amazing. Oh, my gosh.
So the daughter's best friend from the Goldbergs is the main girl on Schooled.
That's right.
And we haven't seen what happened to her best friend since then.
Okay.
So it was her coming back together. And then when we learned that she's actually just had a very normal life and the high school boyfriend that she had that seemed really together and it constantly seemed like she was going to drag him down, actually got his shit really together and they have a yacht and a really fancy house and all this sort of stuff.
They've moved up.
So they've done really well. And we got to throw a reference to Adam, who is the youngest brother, who's in this, you know, in the 90s, now about to get married and all, like, the one who no one expected much from as a kid actually has his stuff all really together. I don't know. It's just they're just being really clever with. Look, the other part that I'm loving is because they get shown back to back on the night. If you watch them together, kind of the last 3 minutes of the Goldbergs episode will start having all these references that you think are just throwaway stuff that get addressed and cleared
That's
up
clever.
On a different show.
That's really clever.
And it's 10 to 12 years later in a timeline. It's so clever. And they're doing this almost every week of just some sort of throwaway line. You know, this week's episode ended with the guy sitting around, like the boys sitting around just going like, man, life's so weird. And I can't believe we're going to be back here in like 10 years for a high school reunion. And then kind of like half looked at the camera. And then the next episode starts with the high school reunion.
What a great way to keep audiences watching.
Yeah, you watch one and it's got a tease for the next episode.
That's very clever.
Yeah. So, you know, the guy who's a stoner burnout on Goldbergs now is on Schooled regularly as the janitor. he just never left the school. He became a janitor. And all this
it was always going to happen.
Yeah.
I like that. Mm-hmm. I've got a lot of time for that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. Do you remember last week, not in the podcast, but last week you said to me, Jimmy Carr on Netflix.
New special, Best of Comedy Gold.
Watch it.
Yeah.
So I did. I did my homework.
Yeah.
And it just took me back. I didn't see this particular show of his, but I saw one probably about maybe 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me straight back to sitting in that audience. And it's just so rapid fire what he does and says.
Can I have my best go?
Yeah. What I love is that the audience laughs at that as much as they laugh at, at his actual jokes. And as you watch the episode or the special, I should say, more, you start to realize that his jokes are not actually dirty, rude jokes. They are, not all of them, but he's playing on words.
Yes.
And he's playing on how we phrase sentences and whatnot and how that can make things seem really rude.
So
it's so much more clever than face value would give it.
This is the thing. He's a comedic intellectual. He's written a few books on the art of comedy. He wrote one all about puns, all this sort of stuff. He's very obsessed with, as you talk about, joke structure.
Yeah.
So jokes can be funny, but to him, it's the structure of the joke that he gets the most comedy out of. So watching a best of from him, when he has these shows that are already a year's worth of material tightened to their utmost place, and then, you know, 20 minutes of dealing with hecklers, to take 5 to 10 years worth of shows, condense that into the best of. I actually saw this show live last year and it was amazing.
I bet it was.
And I'd heard plenty of the jokes before, but it doesn't matter because the guy fires off like 8 jokes a minute.
He's so fast and he's so precise,
mm-hmm.
not only with timing but with the wording, because that's what it is. The joke is the wording. You can't fluff that stuff.
Yep.
So good. Watch it.
Very, very strongly recommended.
You know, sometimes when those specials, those comedy specials appear on Netflix or wherever, HBO, I think still, do they still do them?
Yeah, HBO does a couple. Comedy Central do a lot of them as well.
It's important to realise that because you're not in the audience, the length sometimes feels longer than it would if you were there live.
Yep.
But I felt that this one didn't feel long.
Oh, and they also almost always edit them down, so they're taking parts out. So watching it live might be an hour and a half to 2 hour show that they condense to an hour.
It's impressive the way that they can.
Well, and that's kind of the UK style, is that you have much longer sets.
Mm.
Whereas in America, you know, getting an hour special is one of the biggest deals you can have in a comedian, because if you're working comedy clubs, you've got a 3, 5, 11, you know, different length sets.
Mm.
The idea of having an hour long set, you just don't do.
Mm.
Because an hour long set would be, you know, 4 11-minute sets and a 7 or something like that, that you assemble and cobble together. Whereas in the UK, they go and do these 2 hour shows or whatever.
Just go for it. I love those.
Yeah.
Still remember one of my first that I ever went to. This is years ago, was Ben Elton.
Sure.
And we were just, we were exhausted by the end. I was just laughing so much.
Mm-hmm.
Those long shows are great when you're in the audience, particularly if the audience are there, positive, ready to go. And I felt like the Jimmy Carr audience that they filmed with were there, happy.
Sure.
Loving it. I think they were in Dublin or something.
I think so, yeah. One of the best shows I can remember, I did Melbourne Comedy Festival in 2005 or somewhere around there, and Daniel Kitson was one of the main guys. And he's someone who has never had huge exposure in the mainstream world, but he's one of those guys called a comedian's comedian.
Mm.
Like, comedians love this guy.
Mm.
And he wins awards all the time. Very, very strange. He has a stutter, very anxious on stage, and that's part of his appeal. A lot of the time he just sits down and tells stories.
I like that.
Yeah. He did a show where it was in, I think, Melbourne Town Hall, and it started at like 12:30 at night, and he must have gone for 3.5 hours or something like that.
Oh my gosh.
And no one was leaving. No one was moving or going anywhere. It's just they watching poetry in motion.
Wrapped.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. He does this sort of stuff all the time.
That's nice shows. To know that you're part, you know, yeah. like you're feeling it yeah. at the time. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you watched?
Nah.
All right.
That'll do.
Let's get into the quiz then. Now, we were talking about how, you know, seasons finish and wrap up quite abruptly often with Netflix now. Two seasons seems to be normal. Three seems exceptional. Then you get to the further one, you're like, well, this must be one of their big standalone shows. But it wasn't always like that. Shows did go for longer, and we've done this before, but I think maybe we can do it again. It's called How Many Seasons Is It, Please?
How Many Seasons Is It, Please?
We've got six of them today, and we'll kick it off with Seinfeld.
I want to say eight.
Oh, you're close.
Nine.
Yeah, went to nine. I was thinking around the 7-8 mark, because nine to me seems like they were pushing it a bit.
They were, weren't they,
by the
end?
Because in my head they were like, oh, we're getting out before people want to kick us out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, nine seasons is a lot. We were talking about this before. Sabrina, Teenage Witch. Original, obviously.
With Melissa Joan Hart.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say six seasons.
Oh, man, you're so close every time. Seven.
Yeah. Should have gone for lucky number
should
seven.
Have. This one's been around for years and years and years and years. Gilligan's Island.
Four.
Three. You're so close. So close,
every
but
time.
Not cigar. Yes, three seasons of that. I assume it's been repeated 4 trillion times?
About that.
Yeah, I think so too. All right, what about Big Brother Australia?
Big Brother Australia. So this is including various iterations across different networks.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to say, does this include Celebrity Big Brother?
Maybe. Yeah, I think it does.
I'm going to say 14.
Oh, see, it went from 2011 to 2014, but they did have a little break between 2018 and 2012, reducing it down to 11 seasons. There were 11 seasons of that. If you'd asked me how many Big Brother seasons there were, I would have said, oh, about six.
No, it was on for ages.
I obviously checked out early. I still remember the first season.
Sarah Marie.
Yeah, exactly. That show was huge because it was riding the rumours, because there were rumours coming from England that there was this huge show and it was enormous and everybody was watching it, and then it arrived and we were like, we've got it for ourselves.
Hello, Ben.
Yeah, that's right. All right, what about Doctor Who?
Oh, now that's a difficult one.
All of them. We've got all of them. We're counting every single one from the mid-60s till today.
All right, well, I'm going to say 26 seasons.
37. Can you believe that? 37. It's a lot of seasons.
It's a lot of seasons.
Because in your head, you think about the doctors, not the seasons.
That's right. I'm like, oh,
I couldn't tell you how many seasons, you know, particular doctors were in. I can tell you who were some of the ones that were in it for longer. But
and then you get someone like Peter Capaldi, who was doctor for 4 or 5 years, but actually only appeared in two seasons.
Yeah, that's right.
Things like that.
All right, last one, Stranger Things.
Two seasons and the third is coming very soon.
You've got it. Yeah, later this year.
I forgot to tell you.
What?
There's meant to be some Stranger Things Lego sets coming.
No way.
Yeah.
I also saw the ad for that Lego show with Hamish in it. I reckon anything Lego you should be on board with.
Yeah, I'm pretty into.
So Stranger Things Lego.
I think there's going to be one set of a house and one set of under. You got to be able to build a demo.
Oh, yeah, you have to. But I'm thinking I can already 100% picture Lego Barb.
Sure.
You can picture her perfectly, can't you?
Yeah.
That's going to do it. Let's get into our spoiler section. Spoiler section involves The Walking Dead. So if you haven't seen this week's episode, you can check out now. Or if you don't care about The Walking Dead and you just want to hear us ramble for more, keep it going.
Do you think?
Spoiler alert. In 3, 2, 1. You have been warned.
So this was a Michonne special.
Yep.
A lot of chatter online was that people loved it. If I could only give you one word, and what would your one word response be for did you like it?
Yeah.
I was kind of, I wanted to like it more than I did.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
I like the fact that there was a flashback, and I like the fact that it was about Michonne, because as the episode was going on, I thought, there's probably not that many other characters in the show that I'm still interested in a backstory. Like,
yeah, sure.
Established ones, mm-hmm. I mean. And we've seen a little bit of her past, but then to have her friend come along who is the crazy Pied Piper of the post-apocalyptic world, I wanted that to last longer, to be honest with you. I wanted to understand, I mean, is it because everybody goes crazy except for the people that she knows now? Is that what we got? Everybody's either dead or they've gone mad except for these people in Alexandria.
I think it's just still trying to push that idea of you've got to be together. If you do it alone, you aren't going to make it, even if you've got a bunch of killer kids.
Killer
some
kids.
Peter Pan toss, like shit.
Oh, yeah. It really was. It was a little harrowing.
I learnt a new word.
What was that?
Pedicide.
Huh.
Pedicide.
Is that the killing of children?
It is. Patricide is the killing of a father. Matricide is killing of the mother. Pedicide. Didn't even know that.
Didn't know that either.
Mm.
She killed some to save some.
I thought it was a bit weak that it cut away to future tense or present tense of her cutting up zombies. I understood the decision. Have some balls, kill a kid. If you're going to do it, show us.
I feel because they did sort of back away a little bit, the potentially the chatter outside of, like on the internet or wherever, is probably a little more reduced than it would have been.
Agreed.
Mm.
Can you imagine how much people would be talking if they'd just eaten that baby in the cornfield a few episodes ago?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, pull the trigger on some of this stuff. And I feel like they got really close to it with her killing kids.
Yeah.
But didn't quite.
And we didn't see it.
So it lessened it a little bit. But a beautifully acted episode. I don't know what's happening with Negan.
I like that we checked in with him.
Yeah.
I liked it because his connection is with Judith and Michonne. So it was good that he was there just having a read from his little library.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll probably find. There's only two more episodes of this season. Left.
And it seems that the Whisperers now know exactly where Hilltop is in that fair. Mm-hmm. I thought the fair might happen this week because I was told that there was a lot of chatter about Walking Dead online. I hadn't watched yet. I was like, oh, maybe it's the fair.
Mm-mm.
Modern fair.
We might get the fair next week.
I think the fair will kick off, but I think the
carnage.
The events of the fair will be the end of the season.
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, it's going to be pretty full on, isn't
it? I'm stoked.
It?
Stoked.
Was there something in there that was missing from Michonne's backstory for you?
Look, I'm currently more interested in seeing why she and Maggie hate each other so much. If we're going to find out something from back when to give us more context and colour for why things are the way they are at the moment, that's really where I thought it was. I'm sure we can't get that because Maggie's
off. There's no
off
Maggie.
Doing another show.
Yeah. Maybe that was the reason for the introduction of her old friend.
Well, here's the other thing. And this is potentially the biggest spoiler from the comics I've ever dropped.
Now, this may or may not happen.
No, I don't think it will happen. But in the comics, years later, Michonne finds her daughter from before.
Really?
Has fully grown, works in a bakery in a like 50,000 people strong community.
Wow.
Massive city. And it becomes a whole thing there. And so when this woman popped up, all I could think about was Elodie, who's the daughter.
Yeah, right.
And whether this kind of means that we'd never get that storyline on the show or I don't know how they could do it timeline wise and all this sort of stuff where it would fit. But yeah, I feel like this was almost their version without being a ludicrous, oh, I found the daughter that's been lost for 15 years.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's probably going to do it for our Walking Dead chat and our weekly chat. We'll be back next week for episode 71. In the meantime, look, you need to probably go and check out not only our Instagram page, because we do a lot of stuff there, which is the Watchers podcast, but we finally got around to setting up our Twitter account. I don't know why it took us so long. It just did. But
tweet,
we're there.
Tweet.
Exactly. So we are the – just type in the Watchers podcast and we pop up.
Do it. Come and join us.
Yeah. We like to do things and say stuff.
Yeah. And some validation. That's nice too.
Heavily into validation. On that note, Tom, thank you so much.
Chaka pa shaka, bro.